I'm glad to know that that we were helpful. You made 25 years now. I'm sure that's solely because of us. And I want you to know the better I get to know, the better we get to know Brother Turner, the more we pray for you. But no, it's been a joy. It really has been a joy. I got to tell you, I'm excited. I probably shouldn't tell you this. I'm going to anyway. We went to visit up in Trail at the church in Trail, and Brother Sassy was the pastor there many, many times. Brother Sassy came out of our church, and so we went up there and they had a really solid group of young people up there, both boys and girls, but. And some of those young people are, several in the ministry today, including Richard Allen, who was here preaching this week, and there were some other men. But they, around our church back home, joking, I mean, just in a playful way, they call my wife the queen. Somebody started using that term one time, and some other people picked it up, said, oh, she's the queen. And Boyle, they call her Queen Bee. You know, for the beef boil, and so it's just kind of a joy. Well, she says, somebody said that up in Canada, and these kids started treating her. They say, "Oh, she's the queen," and started bringing her gifts. Well, then it turned into she started calling these young teenage boys, you know, her Canadian boyfriends, because they were bringing her gifts. It's all a playful thing. I hope you know what I'm saying. It's all just a playful thing. But I used to get on and say, you got these Canadian boyfriends? And I said, I mean, it would be okay if I had a Canadian girlfriend? Would that be all right? Well, I think I have my eye on one now. I haven't talked to her father yet to see if Julia could be my girlfriend. But I'm really interested. She's a sweetheart. I tried to get her chocolate muffin at breakfast yesterday, and she wouldn't give up. And finally she told me, she said, I've already eaten it, you know, or I've already bitten on it. I said, I don't care. And so, but she didn't. But we appreciate your family, and the people we've got to know here. What a joy it is to have friends in other places. In the interest of time tonight, I know there's only a certain, you know, time here, but I want to be brief. Go to Psalm 37 with me, would you please? Now, some of you, because there's so many cultures represented in this place, I realize what I'm about to say, that it may not be new to you at all. But my wife and I've mentioned a couple times that I have made several trips to India. We have some works in India we're working with, some pastors that we're working with, and I've loved it. I've enjoyed my time, but one time I took my wife with me. I've been seven times. She's only gone once, and she enjoyed it. There was another young lady with us. It was also a young man, but there was a young lady with us who was, many of you know, Pastor Stastny. It was Pastor Stastny's granddaughter was with us on the trip as well. We were invited to an Indian wedding. I'd never been to an Indian wedding before. And so we were invited to this Indian wedding, and the pastor actually invited us there and wanted to stop the wedding in the middle of it and wanted me to get up and give the gospel to all the people that were there. So it was an interesting situation to stop the middle of a wedding and give the gospel. But we did. And but when we sat down, they ushered us right to the front, and we sat down, we were looking up, and you know, there's an expectation you have at most weddings, I think. You expect the people to look happy. Right? It's attractive young man and a beautiful young woman, all dressed up formally, and they looked wonderful, but the young lady looked scared to death. I mean, she looked as though she was frightened. And that was unusual to us, and Brother Sassy's granddaughter leaned over to my wife and said, "If I look that scared at my wedding, stop it." You know, so, you know. But what we did not understand, I said to the pastor who invited us, I said, "Well, she looks scared," and he looked at me and said, "She is." I said, "She is." He said, "Yeah, They only met for the second time yesterday. This was an arranged marriage by their families. And said they didn't really know each other very well. And I thought, oh my goodness. That seemed odd to me. Not the cultural thing, but just it seemed odd to me that here's a bride on her wedding day that looks scared. And I'm sure she had a lot of doubts and a lot of fears and things like that. And so I thought about that in relation to this. You know, there are certain times in one's life that you expect them to display love, don't you? You expect a mother with a newborn baby to display love, right? If a mother of a newborn doesn't seem to have any nurture, any concern, you'd say something's wrong, wouldn't you? Something's wrong. Not to point a finger, be mean, but you'd say there's something not correct here. When you see a husband and a wife, you know, I appreciate it, and I know it's not for show, but I appreciated the warmth that your pastor and his wife showed to each other on the occasion of their 25th wedding anniversary. What a joy that is! You'd expect somebody that's celebrating their wedding anniversary, celebrating that milestone in their life. You expect them to display love toward each other. You expect them not just display. You expect them to have it, right? There's other times. I sat with a pastor one day who was struggling with his church, and he said, "I said, well, you know, I know that you love your church." He goes, "No, I don't." I said, "You don't?" He said, "No, I'm angry with them most of the time." I said, "Well, is that just because you're going through a difficult day?" And I said, "No, I think I should tell them what to do and they should do it, and when they don't, I'm mad." I said, "Have you ever considered that maybe you're not supposed to be a pastor?" There ought to be a love between a pastor and his people and the people and the pastor. There ought to be. Now, I know there's struggles sometimes, but there ought to be a love in someone's heart. There are times that we would expect there to be love displayed, and when it's not displayed, we would question, is there something wrong? And so as you think about that, there are certain situations where love is expected. Parents and children, mother and child, bride and groom, pastor and people, even disciples one to another according to the Word of God. They'll know we're His disciples by our love one to another. People should expect Christians to love each other. Now we know in many cases that doesn't happen. Even in a local church, people can be at each other's throats sometimes, say mean things behind each other's back. That's wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in someone's heart when that's their attitude. And so we say yes, there ought to be a love. You know, if a mother did not love her child, you'd say something's wrong. If a bride did not love her groom, or the groom did not love her bride, you'd say something's wrong. Well, God's Word teaches there are some things that every Christian should love. And if Christians don't love those things, I think we have an honest opportunity, or is that maybe opportunity is the wrong word? We have an honest reason to ask, is there something wrong? I'd like to show you. There's three simple things that every Christian ought to love. In Psalm 37, the Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Notice verse 4, please, carefully. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart." Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we pray that you would please help us to be challenged by your Word today. And Lord, I pray that every single person in this room, whether they ever admit it to anybody else, whether they ever raise a hand or go to the altar, whether they ever say to anybody else, I pray that everyone in this room would at least be honest enough in their own heart to examine their heart and ask themselves this question. Do I love the Lord as I should? Do I love the Lord as I should? Father, please work in this service. Draw us closer to you, and may we even be ready when the invitation is given to respond to the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we'll thank you for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word delight, it's an interesting word. It actually, in one sense, means to be effeminate. Now, for men here, we say, well, I'm going to be effeminate, you know. But what it means is to have, you know, sometimes people talk about your feminine side or something like that. I'm not promoting that in any way. But the word delight means to be soft, as in the, as in a feminine loving relationship, to be soft, to be pliable, to be willing to be led. That's what the word delight means. I should be so in love with my Lord. I should be so delighted in my Lord that I'm willing to just, if you would, swoon and do whatever He wants to do, whatever He leads, wherever He leads me, I'll go. I was joining the men this morning, and I said, I heard a missionary one time from West Africa, and he said, where God leads, I will follow, and what God feeds, I will swallow. So whatever God gives me, I'm going to be pleased with. That's the word delight. Whatever they do, you're pleased. We have a family in our church that was it yesterday morning or this? Just yesterday morning, had a baby. It's their second child. They are so funny with their first child. They are constantly posting videos. Any little thing he does. One day, just a few days ago, they posted a picture of their almost 2-year-old son sitting in front of the slider at their house, looking out into the backyard. And the picture was from the inside of the house, so we couldn't see anything in the backyard. It's just the boy sitting there. He's just sitting there staring into the backyard. And they said, isn't that cute? He's staring at the birds. He's just watching the birds. He's bird watching. And they were moved by that. Now that's okay. I'm not saying that's not something to be moved about. All I'm saying is that it's, you know, when you love somebody, the littlest thing they do, you go, oh, that's so cute. Oh, that's so wonderful. I've done it. I've got 6 grandchildren. I've done it lots of times. You know, I love the way they spit ice cream. Oh man, it's just, you know, all over me. Oh, isn't that cute? When you delight in somebody, you delight in what seems like the smallest things. You delight in the Lord that way. Do you see the smallest things the Lord does? You go to the store and you go, oh man, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to find a parking spot. And all of a sudden, you see somebody pulling out right up by the front. And you go, the Lord did that for me. You go, no. It just happened to be. It was just, oh, no. The Lord did that for me. Okay? You can say whatever you want about it. The Lord did that for me. Okay? And I believe that. I believe the Lord takes care of little things. See, what seems to us to be little things, but He cares about them. He cares about us and what we're going through. Listen, if I have a God that keeps track of how many hairs I have in my head, then surely He cares about the little things in my life. Do I delight in that? Can I find little ways to just enjoy the Lord and see the little things He does, and big things too, by the way. Big things too. But I'm saying, if you are delighting in the Lord, you're going to see the Lord in all sorts of ways. You see Him as you read your Bible, and you come across a verse, and all of a sudden the verse just talks to you. Oh man, my God is so good. He just spoke to me this morning. He knew I was discouraged. He knew I was a little defeated. He knew that I needed some encouragement, and he just spoke to me. That's my God. Do you delight in the Lord? I mean, do you find yourself just enjoying the Lord? Or do we spend most of our time complaining the Lord didn't give us what we want, or didn't answer a prayer we thought he should answer the way we want him to answer it, and we're evaluating the Lord, we're critiquing the Lord, we've got all these other ways that we're looking at the Lord instead of delighting in him. It's amazing to me that my God loves me so much that he cares what goes on in my life on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. It's amazing. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It's interesting, the Bible says, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen, do you like pleasing the people you love? I do. I used to try to find ways to surprise my children. You know, they didn't have any idea, nothing going on, nothing special. I'd say, hey, you want to go get ice cream? And they go, wow, yeah. And I'm the neatest dad in the world, you know. Of course, I knew I was going to have to beat them within the next day or two, so I tried to balance it out, you know. You say, you mean you knew? No. I knew they would do something that required a beating. I delighted in pleasing. I love to see the pleasure in their face. As a grandparent, I get that from my grandchildren now. I'll say something to them. Yeah, Papa is the greatest. My wife's favorite line now is, greatest Nana ever. And she'll do things for the kids, and she said, and what? They go, greatest Nana ever. And so we love to see the pleasure in their eyes, don't we? You think your God loves to see the pleasure in your eyes? You think he wants to please you? Do you think he wants to do things that make you happy? But if he's always in a position of having to correct, always in a position of having to chasten, always in a position of having to scold, if he's in that position because we put him in that position, he doesn't get to show his delight in us. God's word says, if you'll delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Little things. I'll tell you just a quick story. I was in Bible college. This is many, many years ago. We were in ours. In fact, I think it might have been maybe my first year of Bible college. I'd finished one semester. It was around Christmas time. We went to the mall, and we had a little baby, and we were at the mall, and we went into a Bible bookstore in the mall. And my wife went to look at some books on the shelf, and I went to the counter to look at the Bibles because I saw a sign that said, Bible sale. So we're in this room, probably a quarter of the size, the store, maybe a quarter of the size of this room. So we're not very far apart from each other. But she's a couple rows over looking at some books on the shelf, and I'm at the counter, and I'm looking at these things. And so we're talking back and forth, mostly me talking. And I said, Patty, their Bibles are on sale. And she goes, oh, great. And so I went back, and I was looking at some. It was Christmas time. First semester was just about over. I was going to have to register for second semester and buy books. I'm in Bible college. I'm working at McDonald's. Wife and a child. I really didn't think I'd be able to afford one of those Bibles, even on sale. But I got excited they were on sale because I could think about it, right? And so then I said to her from across the room, I said, no, I don't think I can buy one. Never mind. And so she said, okay. And she's shopping. And then the person at the counter says to me, says, you know, we have layaway. I went, what? They got layaway. And she said, great. And I said, oh, man, maybe I can buy this Bible. I was looking at one just like what you have in your lap right now. Big wide margin. I never had a wide margin Bible before. Okay, I don't want someplace to put notes in the Bible and stuff. And so I was getting so excited. And so I said, they have layaway. And then this was like just before Christmas, about middle December, maybe like around the 20th, that type of thing. And they said, oh, but layaway has to be off by January 1st because we do inventory. See, all layaways have to be cleared out by the 1st of January. 10 days. I said to her, it's not going to work. You got to pay it off by January. And I said, she's about as far away from me as she is right now. And so if there's anybody else in the store, they're hearing this whole thing, right? And so I'm going back. So I'm excited. I'm disappointed. I'm excited. I'm disappointed. I'm excited. I'm disappointed. And so finally I told the woman, I said, you know what? I don't know if I can buy this or not. And I said, would you do me a favor? Would you hold this, please? Just hold this for me. And I'll decide here before we leave the store in just a few minutes. So I had her hold it. I went over to my wife, and we were talking, and we go, and I was trying to calculate how much I had to have for books and how much I had to have for the new semester and other bills we had and things, how much I was making, and I was trying to figure all this out. And I finally looked at her and I said, and she was solidly behind me. I said, whatever you want to do, go ahead. I finally looked at her and I said, I think the prudent thing is I shouldn't spend the money right now. So she said, I need to take the baby and go to the restroom. So there's a restroom, down the mall a little bit from the store. And so I said, I'm going to go talk to the lady at the counter. And she said, I'm going to go to the restroom. I'll meet you at the car. Okay, good. So she left, and I walked over to the counter. I said to the lady, I said, ma'am, I said, I don't think I should, I don't think I need to, I don't think I buy the Bible right now. And she took it out from underneath the counter. And she laid it. It was in a box. It was in the box. And she laid it on the counter. And she said, "Well, somebody else who was in the store heard you talking to your wife. And when you went over to talk to your wife and walk around with her, they came up and paid for it. And said, give it to him when he gets ready to leave. Now I don't know about you, but." I was excited it was mine, but I felt I was stealing, I said, you're kidding. And I sort of picked up. I put it down. I said, are you for real? And she said, no. And I picked it back up again. And then I put it down again. I said, really? And so she said, no, really. They paid for it. They want you to have it. I started looking around the room. I said, well, who was it? I said, no, they're gone. They're gone. They didn't want to be recognized. They just wanted to do that. And I kind of picked it up, and I felt myself sort of, cuddling. Going, you're kidding. I said, I sort of felt like it was mine, but I didn't feel it was mine. You know what I mean? It's just like I hadn't paid for it, but somebody else had, and I never really experienced that really in my life much before that. And I remember walking to the car. I got in the car. She wasn't there yet, and I opened it up, and I immediately, the first verse I opened up to is Psalm 37, verse 4. Said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I desired that. I really wanted that Bible. And the Lord said, I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. When my wife came to the car, she sat down in the car, got the baby in, sat down in the car, and she saw the Bible in my hand. She goes, I thought you weren't going to buy that. I said, I didn't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look, was you stole it? And I told her the story. And then she got teary-eyed just like me. And that Bible still sits on my shelf in my office today. And every once in a while I pick it up and look at it just to remind myself that my Lord gave that to me. Maybe it was back then, I think maybe it was worth $30 or $40. I don't remember how much it was worth, but my Lord gave that to me. Delight thyself also in the Lord to give you the desires of your heart. Do you delight in the Lord? I don't mean just you think he's okay. I don't mean you just respect him. I mean you think it's a pretty good deal that we got getting saved and everything. No, I mean do you delight in the Lord? The second thing the Word of God says that we ought to delight in. Look with me at Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 1. I know many of you already know, this is a well-known verse. I know you know where I'm headed. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you delight in the Lord, then you delight in what he says. His delight is in the law. He's soft. He's pliable. He's responsive to the word of God. The idea of delighting in the law means that when God speaks to you, you desire to do it. It's not a pain. It's not a problem. We've all seen children that were given instructions by their parents and didn't like the instructions, and sometimes they stomp off angry that they have to do what mom and dad said. Now, I'm not saying that you should ever let them do that. I wouldn't let them go from me till they complied. But I know sometimes that compliance even was, though it was surface, it wasn't in the heart. Said, we need to delight in the things God says. Sometimes Christians, I've met preachers, I've met deacons, I've met Christians in any stages of their life who at sometimes were angry with what God was telling them to do. I need to do this, but I don't want to do that. Or I've heard people that surrender the ministry angry. I don't want to be a preacher. I heard men that wouldn't surrender to God because they're afraid God might call them to preach. Silliness. If we delight in the Lord, we ought to delight in what he says. And so he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. You know what the word meditate means? It means to mull over, to think about, to run it over again. People say it has the idea of a cow chewing its cud, that you chews it for a while, swallows it, and brings it back up, chews it some more. That's what we do with the Bible. We think about it, maybe we read a verse in the morning, and we think about it, and then later in the day we kind of bring it back up in our minds again, we think about it some more, and then then maybe we let it go for a while because we're doing some work, but then it comes up again, we think about it some more. That's meditating on the Word of God. And so he says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Says, constantly the Word of God is in his mind. Constantly he's thinking about the Word of God because he loves the Lord of the Word. So he loves the Word of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He sees it as a valuable thing. Like a piece of jewelry, and you see the value in it. The word delight has the idea in this context of seeing the value in it, seeing what it's worth. Every Christian should see the value in God's Word to the extent that we desire to spend time in it. I illustrated the other day, if I got letters from my wife when I was overseas with the military, I get letters. Nobody had to make me read them. They were from somebody that loved me and somebody that I loved. I delighted in reading them. Why is reading the Bible such a pain? I mean, why do we struggle with just reading what God says? Maybe it's because we're not delighting in Him. So we don't delight in the things He says. You know, I've had people in my life that annoyed me. I won't tell you who they are because some of them are still around. And when I'm dealing with somebody that I struggle with, I really don't want to hear what they have to say. I have to sometimes make myself be polite and go, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, all right. And inside I'm going, ah! Have you ever, I told my daughter one time, she was struggling with something, and I said, you need to separate you and the little girl in your head. And she said, what? I said, there's a little man in my head. And when people talk to me, let's say this person comes to me, then this person comes to me, then this person comes to me, and they all come with problems, they all come with annoyances. Sometimes the little man in my head is running around in circles pulling his hair, right? But on the outside, I'm going, oh, really? Okay, good. All right, we'll deal with that. That'll be fine. But the little man in my head is going, ah! You know? One more person walks up, and I'm going, I can handle this, that's okay. I'll be okay. And the little man in my head is banging his head against the wall going, no, not one more. So now you may not have a little man in your head or a little woman in your head, but I believe you do. I believe we all have experienced that kind of thing where you're going inside, you're feeling one thing, but you're trying so hard to just be appropriate and, you know, say the right thing. So my daughter looked at me and she said, "Dad, that actually helps. That actually helps to realize that the little girl in my head that's running around screaming, pulling her hair out, I don't have to be like that person on the outside." I said, "Exactly. Let her do the running around screaming, and you be polite. You look at people, and you smile, and you just do what you need to do, while the little person in your head is going, rah! You know." So, you got a little man in your head, don't you? You've experienced that. Yeah, I know. You have, for sure. No doubt in my mind. No. And so, what I'm saying here is that's how we respond when things are annoying to us, when things are struggles, when things are hard. I'll tell you what, when my youngest grandson walks into the room and sees me and yells, "My buddy," and comes running over to me, there's no little man in my head screaming. The little man in my head is saying, "Come here, buddy. Get up on my knee. God, I love you. I want to hear whatever he has to say. I want to hear whatever he wants to tell me." Why? Because I'm delighting in him. So I delight in what he has to say. If you're delighting in the Lord, you ought to delight in his word. You ought to delight in his word. Let me take you one more place. Go with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And look how this ties this together. This is really good. Psalm 40 and verse 8. What he says. He says, I went to Psalm 48. Sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Wait for me. I'll get there. Okay. I'm coming. All right. Just running a little late. Here we go. Psalm 8. He said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." Now look at the rest of the verse. Look at it. It's not just the third point, delighting in the will of God, which is my third point. But it's not just that. Look what it says. It says, "Yea, thy law is within my heart." You see the connection? I love the Lord, so I love his word. Now, from his word, I'm learning his will. And because his word is within me, because his law is within me, I'm now delighting to do the will of God. I joined the U.S. military in 1972. I had a friend who was a helicopter pilot, and I wanted to fly. My dream was to fly. I didn't care. I just wanted to fly. I wanted to be in the air, right? And the only branch of service you could fly in without a college education was the Army. They had a warrant officer program that you could go in and you could become a pilot through their program. And you didn't have to go to college. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to fly. So I joined the Army. And I went through basic training. And then I applied for flight school. And I was on the way. I was trying to get into flight school so I could be a pilot. The flight school at that time was full. I couldn't get in right away. So they said, "Well, you can reapply." And then they said, if you don't reapply immediately, you have orders to go to Okinawa, Japan. And so I said, "Well, I'll go to Okinawa, Japan, and then I'll reapply from there." So I went to Okinawa. While I was in Okinawa, we moved in next door to a man and his wife. I got married from where I was there for 8 months, came home, married my wife in January. And those of you who were here the other night, you know, I wanted to come in July. You know, I was jealous of you when you said 11 days after you got married. You know, so you must have been in control. But me, it was no, January. Anyway, I'm still a little bitter. But anyway, that's okay. I came home, married my wife, and took her back to Okinawa with me. So we're brand new married. We're living in Okinawa, away from our family, all the way across the world. And we move into a house on the base, and the people that live next door to us started to talk to us and befriend us. They had been praying before we ever met. When the other family that had been living there, when they got ready to move out, this family began to pray that God would bring someone to that house that they could win to the Lord. So they're praying for us before they ever knew us. So we moved in next door. They started to talk to us, to befriend us. They invited us over for dinner. He helped me put air conditioners in my windows, and he just came over and helped any way he could. He just tried to reach out, and they befriended us, and it was through them that we eventually went to the Maranatha Baptist Church, and I got saved, and my wife got saved, same night. And my plans to fly flew away. I joke about it. I say that I had plans in my life, but I got saved and God ruined all my plans. God said, no, I've got something else for you to do. And God called me to preach. And I got out of the military and went to Bible college. And God took control of my life. I fell in love with the Lord immediately when I realized what He did for me and when it became real to me what He did for me. And so I began to love His Word. I began to read the Word of God. I wanted to know what God had to say. This is all new to me. I wanted to read every bit of it I could. I wanted to get as much as I could. I loved Him. I delighted Him. So now I'm delighting in His Word. And then His Word began to speak to me about what He wanted to do with my life. And I began to delight in His will. So I delighted in the Lord, delighted in the law of the Lord, and then delighted in the will of the Lord. And it was a natural progression. And God's Word says that's what each one of us need to do. Delight in the Lord, then delight in the Word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and then delight in the will of the Lord. So my question to you this morning is, what are you delighting in? What has control of your life? You may like the Lord. You may even say in your heart you love the Lord, but you're not delighting in Him because there's other things that have your attention more than He does. You know, my wife said to me one day, years ago, she said, I don't mind being second in your life as long as the Lord is first. I don't want to be second to anybody else. And if she began to feel like my car or my hobbies or my friends outside of our relationship, if she began to feel like all those things were more important to me than her, and there's been a few times where she has, and that's been hurtful to her. Because she feels like there's other things in my life more important to me than she is. It was something I was involved in for about a year and a half. And I just got feeling like it was taking too much time away and I wasn't spending the time with her that I should. And I came to her one day and I said, you know what, I'm giving this up. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to give that up because I just feel like I need more time with you. And she began to cry. I was shocked. I didn't realize that it would be that emotional. And she said, that's not it. The fact you're giving it up, that's not what I'm crying about. She said, I have felt for a long time like that was more important to you than me. But I wouldn't say anything because I didn't want to try to force you to give it up. But she had felt like for a long time that that thing was more important to me than she was. And by making that decision on my own, I was demonstrating to her, no, I want you to be the most important person in my life other than my Lord Himself. I ask you today, what's important to you? What do you love? What place does your Lord have in your life? So I like Him. I'm thankful He did for me. You know, you can be thankful what God did for you and not delight in Him. I've met a lot of Christians say, listen, I'm so glad He saved me. Now leave me alone. I want to live my own life. That's the way they live their life. I have no interest in doing what you want me to do. I have no interest in seeking the will of God. I have no interest in doing whatever it is you might have my life. Folks, it comes down to this. It comes down to this. Do you want to plan your life and just ask God to bless your plans? Or do you want to find and take into your heart His plan? God has a plan for your life. That's His will. That's what He desires for you. The question is, do you want what He wants for you? Listen, it's a simple question, and I know I've said it over and over again in different ways, but the truth is simply this. Are you delighting in the Lord? I mean, do you love Him appropriately with what He's done for you and how He's loved you? Do you love Him back? Are you delighting in His Word? Do you love to hear the Word of God? Do you want the Word of God? Do you want your life to be challenged by God's Word? Do you love to hear what God has to say? And do you want to do the will of God? There's some young people in this room. I mean, young people and teenagers and college-age folks. And I would venture to say, if you're like normal people, you have some ideas, some plans, what you want to do with your life. My question is, have you ever turned to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Now, that might be true for some older people, too. But I ask you this question, have you ever just said to the Lord, Lord, I love you enough that whatever you want me to do with my life, that's what I'll do. I have these plans, but I'm willing to shelve them. I'm willing to give them up. I'm willing to move completely away from them to do what you'd have me do with my life. So I'm challenging you this afternoon to ask yourself that question. Am I truly in love with the Lord? Do I delight in Him? Am I delighting in His Word? I truly want to find and do the will of God with my life. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart.